Welcome back. You're listening to Sound Effect on KNKX 88.5 FM. I'm Jennifer Wing, and today's theme is not a kid anymore. For many of us, that really resonates when we're much older, when the tables turn and you find yourself looking after your aging parents. For Chris Spengler, it was when her father, Henry, was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Ushering him from doctor's appointments to group homes around Seattle, she was much more the parent than the child. And this can be a very stressful time, but this wasn't entirely the case for Chris. Her father's disease gave her a much-needed sense of closure about her childhood in Brooklyn.
This is the story of how Alzheimer's gave me the father I always wanted. Now, he had it for about 10 years, and I'm not talking about the early years of denial, anger, rage, and grief. I'm talking about the last few years when he finally came to acceptance. This man who had always been the king of his castle, who was always telling me, "I don't care what the facts are. What I say is so." This man gave up total control over every aspect of his life to my mother and me. When I had to make a decision for him, I'd look at his face, and he had this childlike trust and faith that I would make the best decision possible for him. It was both an enormous burden and an incredible honor. He also had a lot of physical problems, and I took him to the doctor a lot. This one day was particularly long and grueling, and it had been several doctors and blood tests and x-rays, and on the way home, he said to me, "I don't know how I would ever do this without you." This appreciation and gratitude was new for him. This is a man who always had the expectation that his family should serve him. Every time I took him to the doctor, he said the same thing. Mainly because he forgot he ever told me, but I enjoyed it every time. There came a point when he no longer remembered how to walk. Where he was living, they didn't have a setup for wheelchairs, and so I had to put him in a nursing home. He didn't do well there, so I moved him to a group home, which is basically a house. The first time I went to visit him there, he was in his wheelchair in the living room, and he saw me and he said, "How did you ever find me here?" I didn't have the courage to tell him the truth. So I said, "Dad, wherever you are, I am always going to find you." And he said, "You know, I was in my apartment, and I decided to take a walk. I saw this cafe and came in. I would never have thought that you would come in this same cafe." Now, one of the workers was coming around with coffee, and he said, "Table for two." And she said, "Where you are is fine." And he said, "Two coffees here." And we had a really good visit. At the end, I walked him back to his apartment. That is, I pushed him the 10 feet to his bedroom. And I was feeling pensive and uncertain because I knew how difficult these moves are for dementia patients, how disorienting. One of the things I noticed is that as my father lost words, he seemed to gain an increased sensitivity to the emotions of the people around him. And in a moment of clarity, he said to me, "You know, this place, it's better than the other place," which was exactly what I needed to hear to go on. When I looked at my dad, I couldn't see the father I grew up with, who was the epitome of Schadenfreude. He cared what I felt and wanted to comfort me. Wow. Whenever I would visit him, he would always smile. His countenance would light up. This one day, he said, "I'm so glad to see you." And I said, "Me too." And he said, no, you don't understand. It's like the sun and the moon have come in. It's like I've been struck by lightning and the electricity has gone through my whole body. That's how happy I am to see you." I have never heard a more eloquent love poem to me. I was with my father in what turned out to be his last meal. By then, he no longer remembered how to use utensils, and he didn't want to be fed. He wanted to retain some shred of dignity. And so they had made him a peanut butter sandwich, which you might think is pretty simple, but not for him. I watched as he picked it up, and he moved his head in slowly to take a bite, but he wasn't holding firm enough, and so it fell onto the plate. He picked it up again, but now he was holding too firm, and the peanut butter was squishing out the sides. And in his confusion, he gripped harder, and now a piece fell onto the plate. I could tell it was going to take all of his mental concentration to eat this, so I sat silently beside him. One of the workers saw us, and she said to him, "Do you know who she is beside you?" And he turned and looked at me. And then he looked at her and he said indignantly, "Of course I do." And she said, "What's her name?" Oh, my dad was never good with names, even in the best of times. But he stared at me a long, long time. And finally he turned to her and said with the utmost confidence, "Louise," which is not my name. But I felt really good because I knew Louise was his beloved sister. And it meant he recognized me as family, as someone who loved him and who he loved. It was really hard to lose my dad to Alzheimer's. But it would have been so much worse if I hadn't been given the gift of the loving father I always wanted.
That was Chris Spangler. She originally told this at Fresh Ground Stories, a monthly storytelling group based in Seattle.